guys, welcome back to the Wrestling Podcast. We're here with me and our host, Will. How are you doing, Will?
I'm doing good, Emmett. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good myself, and today we have a special guest, Reese Humphrey. How are you, Reese?
I'm killing it, man. I'm feeling great. I'm glad to be here.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I think I'll get us started. So there's a lot of questions we can ask you. But let's get started with a song you wrote about a year ago called The Man.
Yes.
What made you want to write a song, and how long did it take for you to make?
Oh, man. So that's a good question. So I don't know. I just get in these little different creative flows. And like if I'm like freestyling in the car with my friends or with the guys on the team, I'm the type of guy that wants to take it to the next level. So I'm like, I can actually do this, or at least try and see what happens. And
yeah.
I don't know how good it is, but it's out there for everybody to check it out. It's a little bit of like who I am, just trying to be that like R&B rap guy every once in a while. And but I wanted to see a finished product of what it actually sounded like in the studio. And so I just like went in, and I mean, like, I don't think I wrote down the lyrics until like the song was totally done. I just like would do it on the way to practice every day and just kind of change a little things and have it all done. And then I went to the studio and did it in like two takes. One take, do the song. Second take, he goes, can you like add some uhs and yes? And I was like, all right, okay, cool. Like literally expecting nothing, don't know what I'm doing. And it turned out like that. And now like 20,000 people have heard it. So it's like,
yeah, cool. That's awesome.
I'll take it.
Do you ever listen to your songs?
No, not too much. My boy and my girl, my kids will put it on every once in a while and embarrass me. But yeah, man, I'm happy that I did it. I'll do it again at some point, whenever it hits. But you never know, man. You don't know the thing that's gonna change your life either. So it's always putting out more content and being versatile. I don't want to be just a wrestling guy, wrestler, coach, dancer, rapper. Yeah. Whatever, flipper, whatever you want to call it, man, I will go all in on anything that I think is cool.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. For all we know, you could be the next Eminem.
You never know. See, you never know unless you actually try. And I think that might be a stretch. But, yeah, man, I'm not one to shy away from a challenge.
Yeah. So speaking about flipper, my next question is now, you and your family always are flipping, whether it's at your house, you know, the trampoline park, a wrestling mat. Why did you start this hobby or obsession, and why do you like doing it so much?
Well, I think flipping is huge for a kid, and so that's, like, my main goal is to get my kids to be upside down and to know where their body is, basically in any position, because it just helps your wrestling. It helps you on the playground. You never get hurt because you know how to fall. And so that's like my main motivation. But now my boy, Savage Boy Parker, if you guys follow him on Instagram, he's passing me and it's upsetting me.
So
try and keep up. Like I got to actually start to like training flipping because my boy is out here flipping 8 hours a day. And so it's been fun to watch him grow and turn into like an actual flipper. He's doing crazy stuff. Landed a double back, a double front. Stuck them both. He can do like a couple different routines and he's starting to do some parkour stuff. And it's upsetting he's passing me, but he keeps me young. So that's really it, man. It's all in good fun though.
Yeah, we'll be sure to shout him out on our YouTube
and stuff. He'll love that.
Yeah.
I have another question. So you also do a lot of, like, balance stuff and other type of, you know, like parkour and, you know, stuff that does your core. Have you ever had like formal gymnastic coaching or anything like that, or is it all self-taught?
Yeah, I did when I was very like small. I'm gonna say maybe like 6 to 8. I did a little bit, and then I started wrestling a little bit after that. And I played hockey when I was a kid. But I think it's huge to be, and even if you don't have like formal training, we have a gymnastics bar that they can do pull-ups on all day. We have what's called an air track. It's like turns your floor into a bouncy floor and you can.
Oh yeah.
And I just think it's so huge to have a strong core, strong neck, it just for whatever sport you do, and just to be like somebody that can just rough anybody up that they come across. I'm sure you guys know how to do all that stuff too. And I'm just, it's just another challenge for me. Like to be strong from head to toe is so important. But if somebody challenges somebody to do something, I want to be able to do it, and I'll spend the time trying to do it. And so one of the newest cool tricks I have is that walk on water trick, where
you try it out,
where you try and touch it. First time you do it, you feel like the most clumsy guy. Like, there's no way, it's not possible. And then you start to get the feel for it, and then you kind of learn that you can go through the process and kind of figure out anything. Because people think I'm this super athlete, but I'm as good as most people, to be honest, at least most of the guys that I'm working out with. But I put the time into the stupid tricks, and then now I can do them, and it's working out, paying off with my brand.
Yeah. So I saw your walk on water trick, and I was like, I think I might try this, but I haven't tried it yet. Go try it.
Yeah. It's a fun one, because the first time you do it, you're like, because it looks like easy enough, right?
Yeah.
And then you try it a couple of times, you're like, this doesn't make sense. And then you'll end up getting a little bit closer each day, though. But it takes
I'll send it to you if I get it right.
All right, yeah, do that.
How long did it take you to learn?
I'm going to go with like a week. I'm 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, because you get tired, but you get to a point where you're like, I'm not gonna get it, and then you come back at it again, and you don't have to have a pool, you just have to like have a step, and you can try and touch down. But I did a little tutorial on it too on my Instagram, so you can check out some of the secrets. But that might make your process a little bit faster. And my strength coach and I actually have an ebook coming out. I don't know, within, I'm gonna say, a month or two, doing all of the Instagram tricks that he and I have done together. We're going to break them down, and then we're going to put them, and then we're going to have a program to develop the muscles used in those tricks, so everybody can become a freak athlete just like us. So
for sure. So you're partnered with Wrestle Boutique. You actually got your own shoe. How cool is that you have your own shoe, and what How awesome is Wrestle Boutique?
They're awesome, man. The shoe is the most comfortable shoe, and it's very durable, and the quality is phenomenal, which is like my main reason why I went with them. Because Bryce Meredith, who was at the NJRTC for over a year, he went with them, and I saw the quality of them and how they didn't break. I'm like, all right, well, this is something I can get behind, because that's very hard to do for a small company. Yeah. Making a shoe is like, it's crazy, crazy tough, but everybody that's had them has kind of told me the same thing, how comfortable they are and how durable they are. And then I get to put my name on it and my logo on there. I'm like, sign me up. And they throw me a couple bucks here and there. I'm like, this is cool. I would have done it for free. Don't tell them, but I would have.
Yeah. I was really considering getting a pair of them, but unfortunately,
they're hard to get. So we're
coming. Then they sold out.
See this color scheme right here, the blue, and the yellow and pink. That's the next one coming.
Oh, man.
Hopefully
awesome.
Soon. They're kind of stacked up right now with projects that they have in line, but that's going to be the next one. I think this color scheme will be even cooler. It'll be nice.
Yeah. That looks really nice. Yeah, but I didn't want to get the green ones because my team colors are black and red.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, will it be perfect for me?
50 seconds, so it might have been difficult to get in.
Anyway. Yeah, they sold out like so quick.
Crazy, yeah. Yeah.
I might have to try to get my hands because my school colors are blue, so I don't know.
Here we go. See, we got something.
Yeah.
Penn State stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Penn State, but then I also don't like them winning.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's get into your wrestling career. How can you talk about how you got to sport? Obviously, because your dad, and but when, like, when did you like exactly start wrestling?
So yeah, my dad is like the main reason, but it's also, he wasn't as big a factor as most people would think. I started in sixth grade, and to be honest, my dad was in sales my whole youth. He wasn't a coach. He coached the Olympic team for U.S. in 88 and for Canada in 84. He was the head coach of two Olympic teams, but he was never a wrestling coach when I was growing up. So, like, all his friends were wrestlers, and he was always working out, but I didn't really put it all together. I'm sure he'd been preaching wrestling, but I kind of started wrestling because my buddies were wrestling, and it ended up working out that my dad was showing me a lot of stuff that I didn't know other dads weren't teaching head up back straight while they were fighting with their brother, but he was, and it was like kind of subliminal, which was so huge for my growth as a wrestler, because wrestling is hard. wrestling is very hard, and it's even harder when you're doing it for somebody else. So yeah. That might be the best thing that he's ever done for me, is let me believe that it was my choice, whether he tricked me into thinking that or it was actually my choice. Either one was fine. And so the sixth grade I started, and it was fairly good right away. So it stuck.
Yeah, I saw a video on Flo, I think it was like 2011, where you said you didn't even know he wrestled until he eventually told you. What was your reaction to when you found out that he was a really good, outstanding wrestler himself?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure I knew. I'm like, it's bits and pieces. It's so far away. But like I said, he like convinced me into thinking that it was my choice. And so, I mean, he came to practice in middle school. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I know you're strong, Dad, but what are you doing teaching wrestling moves? That's how clueless I was. And I mean, he did a really good job tricking me. He does a really good job being humble and just kind of let me have this as my path. It's because it's hard to fill big shoes like that. And I never felt like I had to do that, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So you have like a really flashy style of wrestling, putting people on their heads all the time. When did you kind of like adopt that style, or did you just like get it from the start?
Yeah, I think from always. My dad was a big thrower as well, and I want to say that I'm very basic in my style, and everybody thinks I have this great style because I have a lot of highlights. But and the things that I'm teaching my guys, even guys who have never thrown anybody, you need to be able to have that skill at some point. Because if it presents itself and you only take two when you could take five, it's a mistake. And so you got to have some sort – it doesn't even have to look that cool. You just got to be able to expose the back. And everybody's got to – has a way once they get to the senior level. They have a way to do that. And so we drill stuff like that on the regular. But, like, if you watch me wrestle, I'm going to get it very – seldomly, but if the opportunity for four comes to play, I'm in there. And I mean, I teach a lot of low risk, high reward kind of action, so you'll never really see me throw myself to my back. I'd rather not get the score than have it be close. And so we just go over it. People don't drill that stuff enough. Like, get a crash pad if you're afraid to hit the mat, or have a good back arch and a good partner. And I mean, you can drill those things all the time. We actually talked about it today at practice. So it's just something that I think Americans really they take for granted. There's no arm throws. There's not very many step arounds. And like, I mean, people think that about me. So I threaten the upper body and then the other stuff starts to open up. But I'm not like setting it up very often. It's more fall into it.
Was Greco never an option?
Yeah.
Or
no. I wrestled in a lot of Greco tournaments, and I got a lot of national titles, maybe more than I do in freestyle, but I never trained it. I just showed up and Grecoed people. I don't even know what the moves are called.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So so in high school, you went to Lawrence North, and that's in Indiana, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And won three high school championships. Who was your coach there, and what did your high school coach do there to help you?
Yeah, he was phenomenal. His name is Brett Krausor, and he was great because he's one of those guys that could drop the ego, and he would let my dad do a lot of the technique, and he would run the team, which is very similar to how a lot of college programs are run. You have the head coach, who's basically the CEO of the business, and then there's a technique guy that does a lot of the technique and maybe puts them through the goes, and then there's a recruiting guy, and they kind of all have different values, and that's how they ran the high school. And so I won three titles, and we won two as a team, which was like more important to me at the time to be able to lead those guys. And we had six guys ranked number one in the country or in the state, and they were all right around me, which was a fun thing for me. So I had the best partners, and people think you come out of Indiana, that's not that deep of a state, but we were very, very good around my weight. And it was, we did no recruiting, none. These were all homegrown kids, and my dad and Coach Krausor built these guys up. And he knew how to lead a program, which was very cool.
Yeah.
So we talked about your son a little, Savage Boy Parker. Isn't he a wrestler?
He's a wrestler. He started last year. He started 2 years ago, but same kind of thing. That's way earlier than I started, and so I wanted to run that same philosophy that my dad had, just kind of like no pressure. If he doesn't want to go to practice, we don't go. And so that's we were like touch and go the first year. I wouldn't even really call it his first year. And then last year, he was at every single one, made sure that I went, even when I had just done two-a-days. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. He's like, Dad, we're going. And so that it worked. You know, I tricked him.
So, awesome.
Yeah. So he got rookie of the year. He was 12-1. He's tough. He fights through positions like he wants it. He really does. And I'm not putting too much pressure. I'm like maybe no pressure. And it's just like fun. But I just think he wants to win because he's around all my boys who are like my team. They're all wrestlers. He thinks wrestling's cool. He thinks those guys are awesome. And I think they are too. And so it's more that he wants it. And that's what I was really going for. And it just turns out he's pretty studly too.
Yeah. And then after high school, you went to Ohio State and All-American twice at the NCAA tournament. Was it second and third, right?
Second and third.
What is the atmosphere like at the NCAA tournament?
It's the coolest thing ever. It might be the best tournament in the whole world of any age level. The fans are all there. The pressure is there. The amount of good athletes. Like right now, it's crazy how deep the weight classes are. To be an All-American is very difficult. It used to like slip in there seventh and eighth, or maybe a sixth and be okay. That doesn't really happen anymore. These guys are good down to 12 guys in almost each weight class every single year. And so the NCAAs is just crazy. I wrestled Dake in my senior year, his freshman year in the semis, and like biggest match. I knew how good he was, but I didn't know he was going to be the best ever. it's just cool that I wrestled Dake and then I wrestled Gomez in the finals, and Gomez actually won a world silver medal that year in freestyle. So I had some tough competition and it got me to where I was on the freestyle scene. And I think not winning was huge for my progression because I still had so much unfinished business. And even hearing All-American, that bugs me, you know, it's like, it's not double-A champ. But then I won the Open a bunch of times. So I think I made up for it. That took the sting away, but I still feel it.
Is there a lot of stress the week before like NCAA tournament, like training and getting your preparation down?
There's a lot of stress with every tournament. I would say there's more stress with the Worlds and the US Open because you have so much time to think about it. The college season is so grueling and you compete so often, it's almost like you're numb to it. But then like you make the finals and you have that whole day to just sit there and think about how big this match is. And I'll give you a quick story of something that I went through. So when I walked out to the finals, I was the first guy out. I'm running out there. I'm like, this is sweet. This is going to be cool. And then I got out there and I'm like looking around like, oh no, this is a big match. And then Gomez, he walked out like he didn't have a care in the world. He was slow, taking his time. And I'm like, oh no, I'm so nervous. And then it ended up like affecting me. We had like a bunch of really close matches. And that one, he kind of handled me. It was close, like 5-2 or something, but it was, it got to me. It really did. And I say that very often, but it did. It was a big match, and I kind of took it for granted.
Yeah. Now, so you think, going back on that, if you were, like, a more experienced wrestler, do you think you could have won that match?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could have won, you know, a couple different positions, but I was nervous, and that got to me. But I had been in big matches my whole life. Fargo Finals, a race platform. I mean, they're like – there's so many things I could look back to that prepared me for that match, and it still got to me. I don't know. It's still a technique thing. And he's really good, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I couldn't have beat him. But he like, always beat me in folk style, and I always beat him in freestyle, which he actually – he's got, like, kind of more credentials in freestyle. But, we scrapped a lot.
Yeah. So you kind of talked about it already, but – you had a lot of success in college, but never won a national championship. But when you transitioned to the senior level, you had a little bit more success. What did you – was it, like, the freestyle thing you think you were better at? Or, like, What do you think you did to, like, jump the, you know, the third to now being the top guy in the U.S.?
Yeah, so I was always a freestyle guy. My dad was a freestyle guy. We did freestyle all summer, and he taught me really good technique. And just maybe naturally, or I don't know, maybe I didn't spend enough time on the positions I needed to in folk style, bottom and top. I was like a take them down, let them go guy. And it affected me in the biggest matches because you just need all three positions. And yeah. I they were my weaknesses, and I didn't spend enough time. So looking back, I wish I could have changed that. Maybe I cut a little bit too much weight in college too, and so the amount of weigh-ins was a big difference for me. I ended up going like the same weight. I wrestled 33, and then I wrestled 60 kilos, which is 132, but it was night before weigh-ins, which was just a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so that played a factor into it. I mean, I was always excited to wrestle freestyle too. The University Nationals, Fargo, it was always good competition. I was always good at freestyle. I like to slam people. Like, it's that's why I think that changed too, my mindset. I just really love being in the room every day, and I still do. Like, I'm not competing anymore. I'm 34, but I wrestle every single day because I just really love freestyle wrestling. And yeah, man, and I kind of jumped right to it. I wrestled my senior year, and I got fourth at the U.S. Open, fourth at the trials behind Bunch, Coleman Scott, Zadik. And then the next year I was on the team, you know, so yeah. I jumped right into it, and back and forth. I never made an Olympic team, but right around there, I made an 11 and 13 and 15. So right around London, right before Rio. So I wish I could have had that spot, but I mean, I had a good career, and I don't really regret much at all.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, you wrestled at a Cuban tournament. So I watched this story on YouTube. You were hanging out with your friends. You might have been drinking a little, and someone someone asked how much are you weighing? I think.
Yeah. No. It was Coach KJ. Uh-huh. Man, he is just straight up the man. And then like a couple other coaches, Dustin Slater was out there coaching, and then it was like all the guys. We were taking like a beach trip, and they were like throwing the football around, and we were drinking, having like a rum and pina colada something. So we're starting to feel good. We're dancing around, and they're like, Reese, you look good, man. You're in shape. I said, I am in shape, and I do look good. Thank you, guys. And they said, you still wrestle all the time? I'm like, yeah, I do. I wrestle all the time. I feel good. And they're like, you think you could do well in this tournament? I was like, I would win this thing so easy. And then KJ kind of sat up out of the tray. He goes, you know, you don't have to register. And I'm like, oh, no. And then they like kind of walked me through it. I didn't cut any weight. I just stepped on the scale. It was 70 kilos plus 2 kilos, which is not my weight at all. And so I just stepped on the scale after like pretty much a few days of drinking. And maybe not the best decision, but it ended up turning out great. I got second. I competed really well. I was losing in almost every match and just got tough. And so it was a very, very awesome experience. My guys loved it. They just wanted, because they see me wrestle every day and they know how good I am. They were like, yeah, you have to do it. And then uh-huh. So I would like wrestle and then throw my jacket on and my pants on and be in a full sweat when I'm in the corner coaching them. It was a miserable day. 4 matches in a day, which I've never had in my whole career of freestyle. And then I would have had a fifth one the next day, but I forfeit.
Yeah.
Okay. You think you could have won?
I don't know. So Pantaleo beat me in the tournament. He was my first match. I wasn't quite ready. I'd been a while since I competed, and like throughout the day getting headbutted and getting my fingers ripped off. Like, what am I doing out here? Like, so I don't have the quite mindset I used to when I was a kid. They used to like break my fingers and I would just be like, yeah, I like that. But those thoughts are all gone. But yeah, I mean, I think I would have done better in the finals, but he was a little banged up and I was completely done with the tournament. And so he had already beaten me. I didn't really care. And I would have had to wrestle him again. And so I just said, you got it, buddy. I don't care. Great.
Yeah.
I already won.
Yeah. Also, in that last year, you got to wrestle at a beach tournament, I think the Beach War Trials. What was it like wrestling in sand? And what was the hardest or, like, most different thing about wrestling in a mat or in sand?
It's a big difference. And that is something I would really want to do again. It's 1 3-minute period, which I love. Bring it. But being in the sand, that 3 minutes is a lot harder than people think. And so I went to this tournament, and I had no idea – how tough the competition was going to be. I thought it was going to be almost like a veteran deal,
yeah,
where I could just like roll everybody up and be on the beach. Like, this is awesome. Same kind of thing in Cuba. Like, all right, I'll just show up. No, these guys were phenomenal. I think two of them in my weight had beaten Logan Stever, and like were former world team members and a couple world medalists. I'm like, whoa, what happened? Everything is 70 kilos, so I'm a little bit undersized. But yeah, man, dude, it is the coolest sport, and I think it's the future of wrestling. Like, hopefully it kind of blows up, because think about all these parents going to the gym all day. You could go to the beach all day and then kind of walk over and watch your boy wrestle or your girl wrestle. And yeah, man, and the rules are good. It's a push out is one, a knee down is one, a takedown's one, and then to get three, which the match is over if you get three, it's like a tech.
Oh, okay.
I got to slam you on your back. Like, if I throw you in a lateral drop and you roll off your back, it's probably one. So it's like very clear cut. There's no controversy, and it's a really cool sport, and I would love to do that again.
Yeah. So what do you think the hardest part was about wrestling in the sand?
Have you ever played on the sand? Have you ever run around? You get tired quick because your drive is different. Like, I'm trying to shoot high single legs because you can't really touch your knee. But when you drive off your back foot, it almost goes backwards, and you don't go forwards at all. You just kind of reach. And so it's something that I would definitely need to train. Like, I just showed up. I had, like, thought about it a little bit when I was training, but I was training on wrestling mats. And so it was just a different feel that I wasn't quite ready for. And, I mean, I lost to the guys that were first and second at the actual Worlds. So it was the guys that I wrestled were the best, ended up being the best. And I think I could have beat both of them. And I think I think the ref was not looking when the guy – I could have been in the finals is what
I'm
trying to say. But I ended up getting third, which was great. And then Clay Guida, who is a UFC fighter, was fighting that night in Rio. It was by chance in Rio, Brazil. And we've been boys for a little bit. And so we ended up going to the UFC fights. It was just a whole great experience. I'm down to do it again.
Yeah, I bet to wrestle in the sand, you must have to have such strong calves.
Yeah, my calves were burning bad.
Because I can, imagine, even when I run in the sand, my calves just...
I know, it's a different feel. You got to get used to it. I was not.
Yeah. So you kind of talked about it, but, in your semis match, the guy touched his knee with, a second left, and that would have put you for gold, right?
Yeah, so, I would have been in for gold. Same kind of deal, like a pool play thing. So I would have wrestled the same guy I already lost to, though, which I wasn't looking forward to.
Yeah.
So I would have been in the finals.
Okay. So what did you think of that call? Did you?
There's a screenshot. I took a picture of it. The ref is looking, back behind him when it happened. And so there's, 3 seconds left, and I'm down by one. I need one to tie it, which would put me ahead. And so I, faked on him and then pulled his head down, thinking that was going to set the next thing up, but I think he's a freestyle wrestler too, and he just dropped to his knees. I'm like, can you do that? Can you not? I don't know. I don't think you can do that. And then I look at the picture, I'm like, you weren't even looking, man. This isn't it. So we try to talk to people, but as soon as it got weird, we were like, we really don't care. What are we arguing for?
Yeah.
So, but it was so cool. It was just all fun.
Yeah,
definitely.
So you guys have some very accomplished wrestlers at New Jersey RTC, and you guys are probably considered and you guys have some of the best guys in the country. Can you talk about the process of getting all your really tough guys to the RTC?
Yeah, it's difficult. So the recruiting is different than college recruiting. You know, I have relationships with all these guys just because I'm not too far out of the game, and I do a lot of traveling with junior teams and we compete a lot, and so I know all these guys, so you just kind of build relationships over the years, and you kind of feel out who is happy where they are and who needs to change, and then you try and make it as smooth as possible, because I don't want to ruffle any feathers with other coaches and act like I'm stealing their guys. So I think a lot of moves will happen after 2021, so that's kind of what we're looking like. And we just recently, this is going to be breaking news to you guys, we just signed Nate Tomasello to a part-time deal. That is happening right now. You're the first person, people that I have told. And so that's crazy. Exciting for us. He just moved out to Duke. And so I just kind of called him. He's a friend of mine. I just called him and was like, hey, congrats on that. And he told me, he was like, you know what? I have 2 weeks of a month that I can train elsewhere and just work on my senior level freestyle training. I was like, why don't you do it in Jersey? And he thought about it and we signed him. He signed the contract. It's happening. It's done. We're excited. Nate Tomasello to the NJRTC.
Yeah, congrats. That's awesome. We got him on our podcast. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. He's going to be huge for like Pat Glory over at Princeton. And then we have Graf is kind of in the same situation, who was fifth in the world last year. And yeah, so that's a huge pickup for us.
Yeah, awesome. That's awesome. Incredible news.
Yeah, excited.
Is there certain types of wrestlers you look for to try to recruit to RTC, like a great man, or like what are you looking for?
Yeah, so great guy is awesome. You know, you want to have the culture of the team, but what I'm really looking for is going to be athletic and coachable, yeah. Athletic guy, because these guys that are the top level guys, most of them stay where they went to college, and those are just a hard get, and or they just cost a crazy amount of money, which I'm not trying to deal with either of those. And so I'm looking for guys who are really good on their feet, kind of the same career that I had. I told you I wasn't great on top and great on bottom. I'm looking for those kind of guys. Because I can teach them positioning, and I can teach them how to do freestyle, edge of the mat, take down a turn, and they can turn into somebody who is a sought after guy. And, we had Graf, who was fourth at the Open. And then, you know, a couple months later training with us, he beat four guys he had never beat before, won the world team trials, went through the 2 out of 3, won Final X over the reigning bronze medalist, Joe Colon, and then was fifth in the world. Like, phenomenal, you know?
So yeah.
Changes can happen. And he's a guy who was like almost at the end of his career, and now he wants to wrestle till his legs fall off. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do at the NJRTC, build these guys up to where it's fun to be there. We're challenging them, and we're legit just getting better on a daily basis.
So yeah, that's what
we're looking for.
That's awesome. So do you have one guy on the NJRTC that you are, like, positive can be a world/Olympic champ someday?
Yeah, I mean, I would give that to be positive they're going to be on the team. That's a tough one. But to have the potential to do it, Nate Jackson is phenomenal. People forget that he was beating Zahid with 3 seconds left at the U.S. Open in the quarterfinals. Like, was really, really close to beating him. And then who knows what would have changed. And then he lost on the backside. So he ended up, like, placing decently low and didn't qualify because he was beating Sam Brooks 9-0 and then needs to fix some of his stalling tactics. And he got a little tired. But, Nate Jackson, I'm telling you, he's the next one up. And to be on the team, he's got to go through David Taylor and another 6 or 7 guys who are phenomenal. But I'm telling you, he's just getting started, and he's getting very, very good.
Yeah. So coming down to the last two questions, my last question. And so there's a lot of wrestling showcases going on, like with Fight TV, Wrestling Underground, and Flow Events. And I've saw some people on, like, Facebook forums talking about what they would want and stuff. And I saw some people said about a dual match between, like, RTCs. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that idea? And is there RTC that you'd want New Jersey to wrestle?
I love that idea. I think it's awesome. It'll kind of, and the RTCs are getting big enough to where they're able to do that. And I think it'd be pretty easy to put on. It doesn't have to be the biggest show to make money. And as long as the athletes aren't asking for a crazy amount, I think we could do it consistently. And then you could potentially have a league, which would be so much easier for the fans. And I think that a lot of these athletes today are getting decently famous, but if there was a league and you could get behind a whole team, you wouldn't have to know everybody's name. It's so much easier to root for Ohio State or root for Princeton or Rutgers as a team instead of knowing each individual guy and being a fan of every guy. So I think that's what the senior level needs, is some sort of team.
Yeah, Reese, you're muted. Reese, you clicked mute. Yeah, there you go. You good now?
Okay.
Unmuted. Okay. Yeah. And so I think that that would be awesome if we could figure that out. And that's the beginning. We just start one RTC versus the other. We were very close to getting it done with NC State, and then Corona happened.
Yeah.
And it's making things difficult to travel and to do that. But yeah, man, we are in, and we have the squad to do it. We can kind of fill up a whole lineup, and if they want to do six weights or they want to do 10, we have a pretty solid group all put up against anybody.
Yeah. Now, so would you guys do, like, wrestle-offs for the one spot and then maybe do, like –
No, we kind of all know where our guys would be. Our guys spread out pretty easily. Like, Ashnall, he's decently big, 65, so he would be our 70. And then Grapp would be our 61. And then we could have a Glory at 25. And then, I mean, so Glory, Grapp, Kolodzic, Ashnall at 70. We had Boris for a little bit. He would have been our 74, or maybe I could step in there and wrestle 74 or 70. And I will. I will. Don't get it twisted. I will still strap him up if the team is ready to go. And then CJ Brucky at 79, Nate Jackson at 86. And then, I mean, we're a little bit light in the upper weights, but we could figure something out.
Yeah. The last question is – So you kind of said you would be able to – you would willing to come back. So I know you're retired, but is there anyone you would want to wrestle and you would come back for, like, for a flow event?
I would wrestle anybody that I think has potential to make the team. And if I was going to potentially come back, I would have to feel somebody out like that and see if I'm actually crazy or if I'm close enough. I'm not coming back to lose. If I come back, I better be pretty sure I'm going to make the team. But that's so far away from something that I really want to do. I would so much rather coach an Olympic champ. That's where I'm at. I don't want to do the training that it's necessary. I don't want to do the nutrition, go to bed on time. No, man, I want to go back to Cuba and have a pina colada and not wrestle.
Yeah.
That's what I really want to do. You can't help but think those thoughts of what if, you know, because that's the one thing that's missing is being on the Olympic team and winning an Olympic or world medal. But, dude, I don't want those problems. I don't.
Yeah.
I just want to coach.
Yeah, I feel you.
If you had to wrestle anyone at 65, I would love to see you wrestle Yanni. That would be crazy.
Feel like his skills are just off the charts, and I've always done well with guys who are good wrestlers, you know, like Zane. I don't want to deal with his hands. He's got, like, his hands are twice as thick as mine. I don't know if he's what is that? How can you just do that? It should be against the rules. But he, I've drilled with him a little bit, and he puts his hands on me, and I don't like that. I don't like that at all. But I would wrestle anybody in those that wants to. To get there, I'm in striking distance of making weight. I weigh 153, and so I'm 10 over of actual scratch. So somebody sign me up, and that's I'm good for one match. You give me four or five, I might fall apart. I might like just quit in the quarterfinals. Like, nah, guys, I can't do it. But one, I can do one.
Yeah. So before we end this podcast, if you wrestled your dad when he was at his prime and you right now, who do you think would win that match?
Oh, I mean, what are we talking here? Are we talking in his prime, like, for his era? Because it's not fair. I think wrestlers are better today. And he would disagree. But the position is just so much better. The resources are so much better. Look at any other time sport. They're all better. Everything's better. So if you put it like that, I'll whoop him. But this guy was second in the world. And so – for the era, he did better than I did, and he probably would have whooped me.
That's something I think about a lot. I always think about, like, if someone, like, 30 years ago, like, best in the world, I don't know, like, say John Smith came back right now.
See, now the greatest of all time, these guys would find a way.
They would
be adapting, and they'd still be better than everybody. And I've heard some stories about Kale in the room to this day. He's like 45, and he still beats everybody up, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The greatest of all time, these dudes would still be great. And the only thing I'm going to add, though, is my prime might be right now. So don't
yeah,
my credentials all the way, because I might be able to get them right now. This might be the best I've ever been.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely the best I've ever been.
Yeah, you're still in great shape. Like, you can still do all. Yeah, you can still do.
I'm in the room. I'm on the mat 4 to 5 days a week, always, and I know how good my guys are, and they're not ready for me.
That's what I like to hear. All right, so that's all we have for you today. Thank you for coming on. It's been awesome, very fun. Will, you have anything to say?
No, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me on. We talked about some fun stuff. I'm going to plug a couple things. So be on the lookout for the new ebook. Go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/highlighthumphrey. I know you guys checked it out. And there's some fun stuff on there, some good coaches' tips. And some of my favorite videos are the vlogs that we do. We record all of our overseas trips, and they're pretty fun to watch to get a little inside look. And then follow me on Instagram and TikTok. I'm not too old for TikTok, guys. I'm blowing up over there.
Yeah, you got like 125K or something,
I know,
right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it blew up kind of quick, a couple viral videos later. And now I'm getting some good opportunities on there now. So it's all paying off too. So go ahead and give me a follow on there. There's some funny videos. And thank you guys so much for having me on. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Sure. We'll leave all your links and anything you want. We'll put that in our link tree. Yeah, link tree, and we'll put it in the bio for YouTube.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
See you, Reese.
See ya.
All right.